Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to Trumpet Radio Live. This is the weekend edition. A lot to talk about in today's program. Update on that hurricane there on the East Coast, Hurricane Matthew. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? I have some information about that. By the way, we've discovered you should not throw beer cans at a baseball game. That happened, and there's charges that have been filed. We'll give you details about that. And college students walk out of a speech. They were micro and macro aggressed when they heard the term radical Islam. More details on the way. Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on the weekend edition of Trumpet Radio Live 101.3. We're KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, live link at thetrumpet.com, and you can find us on the TuneIn app. Also, just search KPCG. You can listen to it there. I'm Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, my loyal, trusty, debonair sidekick with me here again today.
Sneaking in as always.
Yeah. I don't get to use the word debonair a lot, so I thought I'll put that out there. We have a pleasant weather going on here. It really cooled down. We were in the high 80s, and then Friday evening, cold front blew in, and we woke up to about 50 degree temperatures. So feels very fall like here, very cool and comfortable here. I'm enjoying it. You like the cooler weather?
Yeah, it's nice. It reminds me of the fall festival's coming up, so that's pretty much why I like it. Otherwise, I like the scorching heat.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
120, if possible, every day.
Wow. Oh, well, agree to disagree on that one.
But most everyone does.
they're having, of course, that ongoing hurricane situation there on the East Coast, and these storms are always so interesting, I guess, because you can't really tell exactly what damage they've done right away. It takes time, so this will be a developing story over the weekend, and so we won't get into a lot of specific details because they're not out there right now. But they have had winds up to 120 miles per hour, and Florida started to take that beating there over the last day or so. They say there could still be some to come, and again, you got to go back and see what the damage was. But what we do know is what happened in Haiti. Wow, that death toll exploded. Yesterday, I think we said it was up in the 60s. It's over 500 now.
Wow.
Yeah, that really, really took off. And my guess is that number will jump around. The latest that we have at the time of this is more than 572. That's the last number I saw. Reported dead in Haiti as extent of Hurricane Matthew damage comes into focus. Now, of course, the construction isn't as great in those areas. A lot of times they don't have any place to go, so that's why you see sometimes these higher death tolls. Haiti's southern peninsula towns, where Matthew arrived around daybreak on Tuesday with 145-mile-per-hour winds, just were full of wreckage and misery. They say the floodwater took all the food we have in the house. Now we are starving and don't have anything to cook, said farmer Antone Luis, as he stood in brown water up to his thighs in the doorway of his deluged concrete shack. So, bad situation there. Death toll is pretty high. And now there's the fear of disease, I believe cholera and other things. So, not a good situation down there in Haiti. And, of course, we don't totally know what happened there in the east coast of the U.S. yet.
Right. And just think of all the aid we gave to Haiti after their earthquake a few years ago. And it seems like just when we've started to make an impact helping them, they get wiped out by a hurricane this time. So they're in a pretty bad spot geographically, it seems like.
Yeah, that earthquake was huge. There were thousands killed in that, from what I recall. And so I had a similar thought that they just kind of been hammered. And so bad deal down there. And, of course, we'll be watching the headlines over the weekend to see what happens with the different numbers. There is one couple in Florida that says they don't care. They're going to get married, supposedly, over the weekend on the beach. In spite of the hurricane, I imagine it will have passed by where they're planning to get married. Jamie Grinovage and Ryan Gordon. They tell Florida Today that they chose their weekend beach wedding for a reason. They explain that everything is engraved with the 8th of October because the 8th, when you set it on the side, it's the infinity symbol. So some deep thinking there from the coasts of Florida. So they had to get married on the 8th, they said. So they're gonna do it no matter what. Apparently, the wedding was set to be held at the Ocean Landing Resort in Cocoa Beach. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully, it works out for them. But they have to do it on the 8th because, of course, the infinity symbol. They do realize there's an 8th next month too, right?
every month of the year, there's an 8th.
They keep rolling around. The 18th. I mean, you could the 28th.
You could stretch it if you wanted to, pretty easily.
Yeah, If they're really into symbols, I would say the symbol of a hurricane battering your wedding destination might be one to pay attention to.
But hey, if that happens, at least years from now, when someone asks how their wedding went, they could say they were swept off their feet.
Ah, yes.
Ah.
That's outstanding. It was a whirlwind romance. It was. I'm sure there's a lot of ones we could come up with there. So anyway, hopefully it'll work out for them. But it's a rocky start, so to speak. I guess potentially, some people will not be denied of their wedding plans. They have a new job report out, and job growth has slowed. And it clouds case for Fed rate hike. Are they going to raise the interest rates? That's always a question. U.S. employment growth unexpectedly slowed for the third straight month in September, which could make the Federal Reserve more cautious about raising interest rates. Non-farm payrolls rose 156,000, but that's down from a revised gain of 167,000 jobs in August, the Labor Department said on Friday. Economists polled by Reuters had expected employers to add 175,000 jobs last month, and they fell short of that. Fed Chair Janet Yellen has said the economy needs to create less than 100,000 jobs a month to keep up with population growth, which is interesting because that would be immigration, wouldn't it? I mean, babies aren't going to work as far as I know, are they? They're putting the babies to work now?
Exactly. And I think at the same time, there's over 94 million people in this country not in the workforce at all. So we have a lot of people who could be working that, and that's excluding people who are senior citizens or too young, but people who could be working so that we don't necessarily need to bring in immigrants for those types of jobs.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting because it's almost like these numbers are talking about as far as adding jobs. It's kind of a, like, what's the point of talking about it? You know, 156,000, they were hoping for 167,000. There's almost 100 million people not working that could be working.
It's a lot more than 100,000 or more than that, so.
Yeah, they're kind of dancing around these smaller numbers here when there's a much, much bigger issue going on in the U.S. They said average monthly job gains have been about 180,000 this year, which Yellen has described as unsustainable. Not sure what she means by that. She doesn't think they can keep doing it or they need to add more. I'm not sure in which way she means that, but she
probably
means it.
Would be hard to grow 180,000 jobs per month.
I would suppose eventually you'd run out of something. the unemployment rate ticked up a tenth of a percentage point to 5% last month. That's the winking unemployment rate.
Was it probably over 20, realistically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, yeah, definitely. Probably verging on 30%. I mean, if you just think about the population and how many aren't in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit there and play around with these numbers. Oh, 5%. About 1 in 3, give or take, isn't working. So anyway, they play with these numbers. Friday's employment report will be the last before the Fed's November 1st or 2nd policy meeting. Investors see almost no chance of a rate increase at that meeting, given how close it is to the November 8th presidential election. So let the good times roll. No interest.
Yep.
Go out and just do what you want to do.
Yeah, and I did finally get to watch almost all of that vice presidential debate yesterday. I still have 10 more minutes to watch, but there was a point where they were talking about the economic situation in this country, and the vice presidential candidate for Hillary Clinton was kind of interjecting some stats, And Mike Pence said, look, you can throw out all the stats you want to, but the people in these small towns could all tell you that things are not as great as your twisted stats seem to make it out to be. And that's really the reality. Things are not great in this country right now.
Yeah, very much the case. So interesting to look at those numbers as they come out. I got the kind of related to that. I had my birthday last week, I guess it was. And
28?
Yeah, 38. And but I look 28 and I feel like I'm 15. I don't even know what that means. Take that for what you will. But so anyway, you know, any place you do business with, like in this case, my insurance company, they like to send you a little birthday card. I'm still looking for the check in it. I didn't see one, but
that's the only thing that matters.
They wanted me to send them a check. But they send this card, and it's kind of interesting because they put in there, to their credit, interesting statistics about when you were born and like what things are like today. So I was born in 1978, and here is a comparison between 1978 and now. Then and now, bread, a pound of bread, cost 49 cents in 1978. Today, it is $1.43. U.S. population was 221.4 million, and add one for me, of course. Today, it's 322.1 million. So we've really jumped up in these last 38 years. Average income was $20,488. Today, the average income is $53,657. New domestic car in 78 was $6,478. Today, you can expect to spend $24,160. There were 3.3 million births in 1978, 4 million today. So that's gone up just a touch, but it's about the same. But it's interesting because with the population being as high as it is in comparison, less people are having kids. That would seem to indicate to me. I'm no statistician, but it seems like that. First class stamp. People are like, what's a stamp? It's like a thing you used to have to put on emails when you sent them in the mailbox.
Physical mail.
Yeah. First class stamp was 15 cents. Today it's 49 cents. I haven't bought a stamp in a long time. I mean, I have some, and usually I just, my wife, when she goes into do shopping, she'll buy the book, you know, of stamps. So I hadn't actually thought about what they cost per stamp, but they've gone up 49 cents.
Wow. Actually, that whole card actually gives me the impression that, look, these things cost more, and you're getting paid more, so it should be understandable that insurance costs more. It's like they're justifying the hiking rates. I just recently got some sort of notification that everyone in Oklahoma has to pay like $30 more per month on car insurance, and I didn't like that very much, but that's just how it is, I guess.
Well, you've got to pay uninsured motorist, which nobody likes paying.
Yeah.
But you need it, and I mean, I know people, I think we both know a few people that have been hit by uninsured motorists, and you got to have coverage for that. Somebody's got to pay for the damage, so it's unfortunate, but yeah, that's probably why they did send it to me. Like, hey, man. Don't worry about your rates. Everything's going up.
And at the same time, it's wonderful to get a card in the mail. It's so rare now to get a card that actually is meant for you, and it's not just total junk mail.
Yeah, there was a – I actually got a phone call. They were a day late. They missed my birthday by a day. But a phone call from a car dealership that I bought a car from about 10 years ago. And the lady calls, and I said, hello, and she, you know, is Dwight there? I said, this is he. And she said, happy birthday.
Wow.
And I said, oh, yeah, thank you. And well, she introduced herself as being from the car dealership, and she said, happy birthday. I said, oh, thanks. And I was waiting for, like, some sort of sales pitch, and she said, have a nice day. So, like, her job, apparently, part of her job is to just call people on their birthday, hoping, of course, that, you know, next time I need a car, I'll be like, can you remember that lady that called? I'm going to buy a car from her.
Not too many others wish me a happy birthday.
When I'm buying a car, I care about is what condition is the car and how much does it cost. I don't care if they wish me a happy birthday or not. But anyway, at least they tried.
I know a lot of ultra-sentimental people, though, who would probably appreciate that.
Yeah, there's customer loyalty. I mean, there is something to be said for that and reaching out, so I can't fault them for it, but they were a day late.
You wouldn't be fooled by that tactic.
No. I'm a hardened cynic. I've had 38 years to see these games be played. This Major League Baseball, of course, are having their they had their playoffs, their wild card, and this happened this week. A Blue Jays beer thrower hit with criminal charges. Did you hear about this story?
No, but in Toronto, they're always throwing stuff. It happened, I believe, last year in the playoffs, too. They started raining down beer bottles on the field.
Stop giving them beer.
No.
The man allegedly responsible for throwing a beer can on the field during the American League wildcard game between the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles has been charged. Ken Pagan, that's a funny name, who police identified in pictures following the incident, has been charged with one count of mischief. My kids are charged with that all
one
the time.
One count of rabble-rousing.
Yeah. What's the penalty for mischief? That's like a kind of an old-time phrase. It'd be like an old-time penalty for it. 2 hours in the stocks.
Exactly, the stocks. I was thinking the same thing.
They get to pelt him with beer cans. According to the Toronto Sun, the incident occurred with two outs in the seventh inning in the AL wildcard game in Toronto. Blue Jays outfielder Melvin Upton hit a ball deep to left field, and as Orioles outfielder Hyun-Soo Kim. Thank you.
I watch too much baseball. I just know.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any of the players. Is Babe Ruth still playing?
No.
Oh, okay. He went to make the catch, and the guy threw the beer can at him.
Wow.
And it was a can of beer landed just a few feet away from him. So that's pretty dangerous, and obviously an attempt to distract him, very unsportsmanlike. Center fielder Adam Jones was livid about the incident, yelling at umpires to eject the fan from the game. Manager Buck Showalter came out to speak with umps following the event. Security attempted to find the person who threw the beer, but the person left before security reached that section of the ballpark. But they went back and looked at the footage, and they think they got him. And so he's going to be charged with one count of mischief.
Wow. Depending on how far up he was sitting in the left field stands, that could have been a skull-crushing beer can.
Well, absolutely, and especially, I mean, I would assume it still had a fair bit of liquid in it.
To even be able to go that far.
Wouldn't have gone that far otherwise, so that could have been extremely dangerous. Get hit in the face, trip over it, you know, that's a terrible thing. So we like the Canadians and the Canadian sports fans, but not this guy. Not Mr. Pagan. He was chucking beer at people.
Something about Blue Jays fans, they transcend the Canadian reputation for just too much politeness. They're a bit aggressive sometimes. I like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be passionate, but can't be throwing things.
Yeah.
This is kind of a, well, it's a bad story. It hasn't really been the top headlines, but I've seen it last day or two. Sergeant killing, they say, a calculated execution, LA County Sheriff says. This happened out in Los Angeles area. A gunman was shot and wounded. A gunman first shot and wounded a Los Angeles County Sheriff's Sergeant before standing over him and pumping four bullets into his body, Sheriff Jim McDonald says. The new comments came Thursday in the death of Sergeant Stephen Owen, which McDonald called a calculated execution. 53-year-old Owen was shot while responding to a report of a burglary in progress Wednesday at an apartment building in Lancaster. Owen went behind the building where the gunman shot him with a stolen gun, and then he stood over its body and fired four more times into him, and then tried to take that officer's gun. He was going to try to shoot somebody else and stole a police car, rammed it into another police car, and so a really horrible situation. They think that it was calculated, that he was going after this officer on purpose. The gunman, in this case, was a black man. The officer was a white man. I don't know if that played into it at all, but it unfortunately is a bad situation out there in Los Angeles. And so, you know, these officers do have to face the threat of that anytime they go anywhere. And it's amazing how quickly people jump on them for, you know, making an error. And a lot of times they haven't even made an error, but a perceived error. There's a threat of them being killed every time they go out. You think people would respect that a little bit and be very cautious to not in any way make it seem like you're going to cause problems, just to keep yourself safe when dealing with situations like this.
That's right. And whenever we look at the last few examples of police killing black men and then also black men killing police, only one side really looks like it has been premeditated. The police are, from everything we can tell, are not going out there targeting someone and hoping to gun him down at the very first chance. But when the criminal is doing it, it's a planned attack. It's a Dallas sniper killing five policemen, or there in Louisiana, I believe, another man killed three. Those were premeditated attacks. This one looks like it was, where they're, even in one case, a guy was training in his backyard doing military-style exercises in preparation for his shooting. So why is there not more outrage about the criminals shooting the police when it's pretty clear which side is the good side? The police are good, the criminals are bad, yet the media would hope to tell you otherwise.
Yeah, I saw, like I said, it hasn't made like the top stories anywhere. It's just kind of been on the side. And so I read the article, of course, and then I looked at a few of the comments, and somebody commented that the Huffington Post had their take on it, and it made the officer look bad. Now, I couldn't find that article. I was looking for it, so I just couldn't find it. But when I did search Huffington Post for the officer's name, all of the stories that came up were related to police violence. They just kind of put those two together, I guess, in their searching parameters. And every headline I read was anti-police. You know, they did this, they did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. And, you know, if that's where you're going to get your news, just those kind of outlets, yeah, you'd believe that, wow, it's really, really horrible. But they didn't have any story about this, not that I could find. They may have, but I couldn't find it. And so they just keep pushing these certain stories, and it just paints a false picture for people.
And you know what's so stunning about it is it would be almost impossible to find this police officer's name on a website like this, yet the common refrain is every one of these black men being gunned down has a name, and we should really care about what is happening in this country with institutional racism and police brutality. Yet when a police officer gets shot, and it was pre-planned, this guy had a plan of action to kill a police officer, it seems like, we can't even find his name in the same media outlets. Why are all of a sudden the black criminals who are being killed more important than the police officers being killed? Why is it more important to know their names than it is to know the police officers' names when they're killed too?
Yeah, it's just a really bad story there. So one of those where I even almost don't want to talk about it because it just gets to be so depressing, I guess. But it kind of keeps happening. So.
Yeah, and there's so many lies out there about it that it is frustrating to see it happen in this country where people are believing the narrative that police are just on the hunt. Right. Yet, look, they are literally being hunted in cases like this where someone is waiting for them to pass by so they can take a shot.
Yeah, it's a really good point. So interesting right up there. And that was from Fox, who actually had a little something on it, which was good. You've heard of some of these self-driving cars. Seems like a really bad idea. Of course this happened, Grant. Uber, oopsie, self-driving car spotted going wrong way down a one-way street.
How does a self-driving car work anyway?
Well, that's what gets really interesting here. They say Uber's human drivers have started ratting on their robot colleagues in Pittsburgh. They're telling on them because they're not driving the right way. Driver Nathan Stachelik told Quartz that he was parked on the side of the road during a shift for the ride-hailing service on September 26th when he saw one of the company's self-driving car prototypes start heading the wrong way down a one-way street near the University of Pittsburgh. Which, that makes me think, can you pull over a self-driving car and ticket it?
Doesn't seem like it would want to stop.
Yeah, how do you deal with that? Can you? Yeah, interesting. I wonder if they're programmed to pull over if they're flat, like, you know, police lights come on or something. Because what if they're speeding?
Yeah.
And it's strange.
It could just be a runaway vehicle. Nothing would stop it.
Yeah. Well, they say this gentleman that saw it said it was too far away to tell if the car's computer was in control when it made the wrong turn, but posted a video on his Facebook page that shows the backup human driver that's required to be on board at all times, turning the car around and getting it headed the right direction. So these self-driving cars have backup human drivers. Why don't they just have human drivers? They're there anyway. Now, I guess it's because they're sort of testing the technology, and so that it's kind of like, hey, let's see if this works, and before we pull the humans out. But that would be a really odd job to have for a while, wouldn't it? You're the backup human driver, and you just kind of sit there and watch it all. And, you know, that it could be really boring. it could be terrifying. I mean, what if the thing goes crazy and it just starts like heading you down the wrong direction and you can't override it or whatever happens? So this is really an interesting situation. A self-driving car with a backup human driver. Do they have human passengers with backup robotic passengers? I think the self-driving car should take robots' places.
Yeah.
That seems to make more sense.
Yeah, keep the robots with their own kind. Segregate the robots.
That'd be segregation. they say Uber is currently operating a handful of self-driving Ford Fusion hybrids. You've got a Ford Fusion, don't you?
I'm a Ford Focus.
Focus, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you blew it.
I know. Sorry.
Ford Fusion hybrids that are accessible to a select group of its customers, i.e. people that may not live long, but plans to expand the semi-autonomous fleet with 100 Volvos in the next few months. The cars can only operate within the city limits, and the company says that it expects they will often require their human drivers to intervene as the technology is developed. So that would be a fascinating job to have, the backup human driver. The tales from the self-driving Uber. It's like a movie.
Yeah, it's strange because I wonder who would actually choose a robot car over a human driver. I mean, maybe just for the experience one time, I might try it, but I would also be very terrified that something could go wrong, possibly. And wouldn't most people think the same way about that?
You know, it seems like these things shouldn't drive in the city. It seems like they should drive only like on country roads.
Yeah.
Where there's less chance of problems.
They're trying to make it sound like the city's less dangerous when it's way more crowded.
Yeah, it would be interesting. It would be kind of a fascinating reality show to follow around these people that are the backup drivers. And especially if people getting into the car didn't know you were a backup driver and you just don't say anything about it and let them realize it. Who's driving this car? And then see the reaction. I think it'd be pretty interesting.
Exactly. The person in the car already doesn't even touch the steering wheel. That would be a little bit disconcerting.
They had that show, Cash Cab. You ever see that?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
They get into a cab, and that's like a trivia game while the guy drives them around. And they can, you know, keep trying. If they get one right, they get a certain amount. Do you want to try again for, you know, more money? If you don't, you get dropped off right there with whatever you made. So it's kind of an interesting show if you are really bored. Cash Cab. Every cab's a cash cab. I always lose cash when I have to take a cab.
A lot of cash.
Can I do that? Can I ask the cab driver trivia questions? Get a reduced rate? What's my favorite food? Wrong. Yeah. The Kia David program's coming up here over the weekend at KPCG. We've got a few that we're running for you. One of them is going to be on the Holy Roman Empire is Here Now, based upon some headlines recently in a paper over there in the UK, and talking very specifically about the Holy Roman Empire, calling it that, in fact. And so a lot's happening in Europe. Make sure you listen for this program coming up here on KPCG, and you can also watch it online at thetrumpet.com. Go search for that Key of David program. The Trumpet Daily Radio Show today with your host, Stephen Fleury from Edstone, England. He talked a fair bit about the White House. They gave a scathing rebuke to Israel regarding Israel's plan to build some more houses in one of their settlements. And I had seen the quote of that rebuke the other day, and it was pretty strong. It was strongly worded, accusing Israel of capsizing the peace process, and it's building a couple of houses. They're talking about building a few houses in land that really is theirs, as far as I understand it, versus trying to murder, which, you know, the Palestinian terrorists are doing, trying to murder Israelis. That seems to be a very unbalanced equation.
And the other thing is the Palestinians are allowed to live in Israeli territory, or at least the Israeli-controlled half of the country. But the Palestinians also want, as a condition for peace, no Jews living in their side.
Right.
Why can't we have equal conditions here if we're trying to have a peace agreement? Really, because they don't want peace. They're making it impossible by having all these unequal conditions.
Yeah, it is very obvious to people that are willing to look at it with open eyeballs. So really important part of the program. Today also, you talk somewhat about man's government. Is it the problem or is it the solution? Well, if you believe a lot of the politicians, they think it is the solution as the problems get worse and worse and worse. So make sure you listen for this Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury. If you can't catch it live or one of the replays, you can get it online at kpcg.fm or trumpet.com has it as well. And he went through some stats, some listener email, a lot of good emails from up in Canada, actually. So those are interesting to hear. The man that threw the beer did not write in, as far as I know, or he wasn't named. But he doesn't listen.
He saw the truth after he reached an all-time low in his life by throwing beer on the field.
Change his ways. I need help. Yeah, so really good program today. Make sure you listen for that. And if you want to catch up on some that you missed over the week, you can do that too. They're all archived there for you at kpcg.fm, as well as all the programming here. And also, of course, make sure you listen for the Trumpet Hour Week in Review program. A lot happening and a lot to be covered by the Trumpet writers that contribute to that. That'll be coming up throughout the weekend as well. Grant, do you consider yourself to be an introvert or an extrovert?
Probably more of an introvert. I can bring out the extrovert side at times.
They have this graphic here that is supposed to explain the differences between an extrovert and an introvert. They say the extrovert recharges by being social. The introvert recharges by spending time alone.
That's
fair enough.
That's me. Yeah.
I think I suppose it depends. Who doesn't like a little downtime, little sleepy time?
Yeah, that's
true. Little me time.
My dad does recharge by being around people, though. He's definitely an extrovert.
The extroverts enjoy group conversations. The introverts enjoy one-on-one conversations.
Yes.
The extroverts have more friends, but the bonds are less strong. The introverts have closer relationships with a few friends.
I'm actually an extrovert in that way.
Okay.
More friends, less strong bonds in most cases.
The guy that thinks he's your best friend's out there crying right
now.
I thought we had something.
I mean, I did have 10 groomsmen at my wedding.
You did.
By the way.
They kept coming through. Yeah. There was barely enough room in the building. The extroverts speak more. The introverts listen more.
I listen more.
Okay. The extroverts easily accept change. The introverts struggle with change.
Yeah, most cases, change is a little hard.
Mm-hmm. The extroverts get distracted easily. The introverts deep focus for a long time.
That depends. I do get distracted easily at times.
The extroverts are more open. Introverts are more reserved.
More reserved, yeah.
The extroverts open up to anyone. The introverts open up to only a few people.
Oh, that depends on how I'm feeling at that day. I could open up to anyone. It depends.
The extroverts make decisions quickly. Introverts reflect before making decisions.
Quickly, actually, yeah.
Extroverts love getting attention. The introverts are not interested in getting attention.
Yeah, attention's the worst thing for me.
It's funny because they have graphics here displaying these, and the one for loves getting attention is an electric guitar with a couple of amps, and the one for not interested is an acoustic guitar.
Oh,
quietly by itself in the corner. Who's drawing these pictures, and how much are you being paid? Double it.
Brilliant.
Extroverts are fine working in open spaces. Introverts like working in quiet spaces.
Yeah, quiet.
And finally, extroverts speak up in meetings. Introverts share ideas when prompted.
Yeah, probably when prompted, more likely. But I think every person is a combination of both. I have more of the introverted ones based on that, but I also have a few extroverted ones.
I thought the same thing. I was thinking about myself when I was going through that, and I thought, well, yeah, sometimes I do both, or it depends on the situation, or in a lot of cases, I would be on one side, but then in some things, I'd be on the other. But that goes to show, right? It's hard to label somebody as one or the other. People are unique. They're different. They have different ways of going about things.
Yeah, I don't think we all want to be put in a box and defined by just a few parameters.
Yeah, and a lot of times, well, you know how it is, the old expression, you can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, I think we can all think of situations where we saw somebody, we met somebody, and we kind of assume something, and then you get to know them, and you're like, oh, that person's not like that at all.
Yeah.
They're far worse than I assumed. No, I'm kidding. What is? We were talking about that the other day. It's where you assume everyone's the worst. I can't remember what that was called, but the term for it.
Yeah.
What? Man, go back.
Something error. It was error. It was an error of some sort.
Yeah.
That was the last word of it.
Yeah. No, in most cases, you get to know somebody and you
something attribution error.
Yeah.
False
attribution
is
error.
Is it false attribution error?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But in most cases, you get to just know a lot of different things. You know, like, oh, wow, I didn't know all these different, you know, things or personality traits. It takes time to come out. So introvert, extrovert, probably everybody's got a mix of both, I would think. Here's a really interesting write-up. This highlights what's going on in some of the universities here in the United States. It's from the College Fix website. Students walk out of veterans' speech to protest his use of term radical Islam. They couldn't believe that it was said. And this happened at St. Louis University. What are the details of this debacle?
Well, more than 100 students walked out on retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Alan West on Thursday, as he began a speech at St. Louis University to discuss the threat of radical Islam. Now, Thursday, I believe that means last week Thursday, since this article was from last week.
Mm-hmm.
But this Lieutenant Colonel Alan West is a really great American. I mean, this guy, he's a black conservative, which is also a rare thing in a lot of cases. And I don't know, he's just spot on in a lot of the things he talks about. I've seen him on the news a few times, and I've checked his Twitter feed, and he's also written a lot of articles. It's funny because these student protesters actually walked out before he even said a word. It's like over 100 of them from the St. Louis University Rainbow Alliance.
Okay.
And the Muslim Students Association arrived early. They filled many of the seats in the two-story auditorium where he was going to speak. And as soon as he took the stage, they stood up and filed out. Now, what a waste. Hopefully these were not paid tickets or tickets taken from other people who wanted to attend the event, because these people wasted. They took up a lot of seats for no reason.
But it does bring to mind a great business opportunity. If you could get a reputation for speaking about these things, just go there, have them all buy your tickets and then walk out, and then you can just go home.
Buy your tickets and walk out, and then you can just resell them. You resell the same seats.
Yeah. So, well, it's really interesting because I was wondering if this was just spontaneous, or clearly it wasn't. They had it planned.
Yeah.
And they didn't even wait until he said it. What if he never even said it? Like, what if he
good
said
point.
Maybe he never even said the phrase. So, of course, obviously they're trying to make a spectacle. But really, what's their point? Is there not radical Islam? Is there not violence from it? I mean, it's everywhere. What are they protesting exactly? They think it's racist, right? That's their thing.
Right. It's hard to deny at this point that radical Islam exists, but this administration that we have right now pretty much refuses to say it. I've never heard them say it. I don't think they have. A lot of the time they attribute these terrorist attacks to something else. Mental illness is always a factor, but that's not always the only factor. Sometimes a twisted radical form of a religion can be a driving force behind some of these attacks, but that's what some people just don't acknowledge. It's also interesting because the university tried to somewhat censor Alan West before he even got there. They told students organizing the meeting that they could not post the words radical Islam on any of their advertisements for the event. So they were just obviously terrified at some sort of riot on campus if the words radical Islam triggered anybody.
It's amazing. I mean, if you're going to one of these universities and you're paying a fair bit to be there, you would think you'd want. I mean, the idea of college is you're supposed to hear a couple of sides to things, and then you're supposed to be able to make decisions based upon what you hear, right? I mean, it's open. Now, if you don't agree, you don't have to go to these meetings. But again, it's like you've pointed out before when we've talked about some of this, Grant, that if these protesters, they have something to say, they have an opposite opinion or an opposite thought, well, they're free to express it. But why can't they let, in this case, Alan West say his part?
Right.
You know, if they feel that they're right on the other side of it, then the truth should come out. But they don't want to hear. They just want to walk out of there and cause a big stir and try to silence him. which is the exact opposite of what, you know, the idea of this freedom to speak is all about. You can't silence the other side. Both sides have a chance to say something. That's supposed to be the point of some of these universities.
Yet these universities are turning to fascism, where they're trying to control the thoughts of their students, silence one side. And I think part of the idea of being convinced that your side is right is having a general understanding of the other side and how to refute their side. Yesterday, I read a couple articles that were probably 10 minutes long each. I concluded at the end, after reading them, that they were utter garbage, and I did not agree with what they said, but I still know now, you know, what the other side has to say, things like white privilege and and bigotry spouted throughout these articles. I don't like that, but now at least I know what the other side is saying, and I can refute that.
Now, it's interesting, too, because the two groups that were in cahoots here, what were they called, the Rainbow Alliance?
The Rainbow Alliance and the Muslim Students Association.
Okay, so that's really interesting. That gets back to this article that's Andrew Miller, a trumpet writer, is working on. He talked about it on the Trumpet Hour, I think it was even this week. There's this odd alliance between the extreme, like, say, this Rainbow group and this Islamic group. You see that happening in the country where they're kind of uniting against conservative, what would be considered, I guess, Christian values. But the rainbow people and the Islamic, they don't agree either, though. They're very opposite in their ideologies, very opposite. But for now, they're forming this odd alliance to try to shout down somebody like an Alan West. But they don't agree with each other either. Mm-hmm. They very much disagree with each other. But for now, it's this awkward alliance of convenience, I guess. But eventually, they're going to go after each other, I'm sure, because the Islamic beliefs do not correspond to the rainbow, rainbow
not
beliefs.
Not at all.
Yeah. I don't even know what to call it. I mean, I know there's all kinds of names for it, but well, let's call it you know who I'm talking about, what the groups are out there. But they don't agree. They're the opposite end of the spectrum as far as what their beliefs are. But yet They're kind of uniting in this odd way. And so there's an interesting segment on the Trumpet Hour program from this last week. You should go back and listen to Andrew Miller was talking about that, and I think is writing an article about it. And this highlights that exactly.
That's right. And it's also interesting to think about what exactly do the homosexuals, transgenders, the other people who are part of these, you know, far left rainbow alliances, you could call them, what do they think is going to happen once the conservatives they hate so much are gone? I mean, don't they realize that in Muslim countries, homosexuals are thrown off buildings? That could be their fate next if they are successful in getting rid of the conservatives. Maybe they're not thinking long term, but that is actually what that religion does believe.
My guess would be all these people protesting, they're not thinking about much of anything, because you do see them being interviewed and they're out there protesting and they're angry and they're protesting conservatives and that, and they say, well, what are you protesting? And all they can do is throw out like the buzzword or whatever is written on one of their websites they like to go to. Mm-hmm. And then if they're asked a further question, they don't even know. They're caught up in the movement. It's like Penn State where they were chasing the imaginary clown around. They're just chasing clowns. They don't know. They don't even know what they're doing, but it's just the movement, and they're caught up in it, and they want to be part of something. And they probably don't like conservatives or conservative values, but do they really support what they think they're supporting? I don't know that they do. I don't know that they've thought about it enough to even understand what they're doing.
Right. I mean, even in the case of the clown mob, it seems like a lot of those people carrying baseball bats probably weren't mentally committed to beating a clown with a bat if they actually caught one. And yet they were just swept up in a movement without necessarily believing what they were saying they were going to do. That is a pretty good example there. And it just shows you the power of emotion sometimes in these situations. Alan West actually, he called these college students who seek safe spaces little cupcakes. And he said that organizations like that Muslim Student Association that walked out on him are a case of the influence of stealth jihad bringing radical Islamic views to American campuses. And that is something that has happened. Nations like Saudi Arabia spend millions of dollars to basically influence Middle Eastern studies programs on American campuses. And he was just pointing that out. And it just shows, well, we have an enemy that is brainwashing our young people, our next generation.
And very successfully.
Yeah.
Very successfully. It's all, I mean, this is the obvious point, but these protesters, do they want to go to Iran and attend over there, attend university? And what are they going to protest over there? The Iran leadership? You don't, or you end up dead,
right,
or imprisoned or something. The very fact that they have freedom is, they're protesting the fact that they're free. I mean, it's you know, we're tired of this freedom. And that's what they're protesting, really. Because they're, I don't know, did they, are they saying that they want to live in an Islamic state? Or they just don't like it being called radical? Like, what, I don't know what they want.
That's the problem, is we never know what these people want. We don't know, in a similar situation, what these people kneeling during the national anthem actually want. They never state in concrete terms what they're looking for, because they have nothing they can really say that is wrong with this country on a massive scale right now. I mean, obviously, this country does have problems, but it's not oppressing certain groups of people. It's not oppressing the Rainbow Alliances out there, or any Muslims, or any minorities.
Well, you know, it's, if you want to break it down to like a personal level, we've all experienced this. You know, the day when you're in a bad mood for no reason. Yeah, I think everybody can relate to that. And people say, you know, well, what's the problem? Well, you know, you try to come up with something, but you're really just in a bad mood and kind of for no reason. I think this is the same thing. You know, we're mad. Well, about what? You know, well, oppression. Like what kind? Well, you know. And they just throw out some terms. Okay, well, how do we fix this? I don't think they really want to fix anything. They just want to be mad and have a temper tantrum. You know, does anyone think that Colin Kaepernick, if, I don't know what he wants to happen, but if it happens, he's going to be like an upstanding, he'll be out there smiling and handing out ice cream to children. I mean, what is he, what's he going to become? He's just a disgruntled individual.
And it's also interesting, because we could easily explain to them why they're so mad. It's because of lawlessness. It's because things are not right in their own lives, and they're trying to find a way to blame someone else for the vices that they're enslaved to, basically. I mean, a lot of these people, you know, they have addictions and they have issues in their lives. They're stressed out about different things, and they take it out on the police or people who say radical Islam. That those are the people who are the main causes of problems in your life.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a nail on the head. It's the result of bad personal situations, or, you know, community situations, and then looking to blame somebody else for the problems and for the results of it. So, interesting write up there, the College Fix. They've got some interesting little stories.
Yeah.
I'm glad they highlight them, because otherwise we wouldn't know what's going on there.
It seems like they've found their niche. They report on the insanity going on college campuses today, and it's always interesting.
Yeah, they sat down and they said, we need something where there's going to be good material every day. And, well, there's always going to be something weird happening at the college campuses.
Definitely.
So they've got plenty of information. One last little segment to look at here today. I thought this was kind of interesting. This is a write-up, I think it was from the Bleacher Report. Athletes we love to hate the most. These are some of the athletes and teams. Well, he didn't make the list yet.
No, not yet. It will not be long.
These are the universal ones that they have. Allen Iverson.
Okay.
Say people don't like Allen Iverson.
Kind of a gangster.
He kind of brought in that little bit of edginess, or a lot of edginess, into the NBA. And so people had some problems with him and the way he played, I guess. And he had that famous rant where he said he didn't need to go to practice, which has been remixed into songs. The New York Yankees, as a team, they're considered one of the organizations that people love to hate the most.
You know, at least they're clean cut. They have a policy against facial hair, or I think even long hair on their team. That is impressive. And they have the clean pinstripe look.
Yeah, it's a rarity today, especially in baseball. They got some really wild beards and hairdos.
Right.
That man could be homeless, or he might have a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. We'll find out. Mike Tyson, he's one that people love to hate, apparently.
Hmm.
He, threatened to eat people's children, so forth. So, yeah, you're going to... you're going to raise a few eyebrows. He bit off a man's ear.
He did bite off a man's ear, although he's great friends with Evander Holyfield now, even though that's the man whose ear he bit.
Sorry about the ear thing. I wasn't thinking right. They have Kobe Bryant on this list.
Yeah. The last few years of his career, I actually began to like him a lot. I think he's very impressive. Just the way he goes for the win, no matter what. I mean, no matter how overmanned his teams were over the years either, he just would go right at you. He'd take you 1-on-5 if he didn't have the help.
And even if he did, sometimes he'd go 1-on-5. Yeah. I think people he got a bad reputation for being kind of a gunner, and always shooting and not, always making the best play. But people loved him. He was exciting to watch. And I think that's the way it goes. People don't like the new guy early, and then they appreciate him later. Jordan went through the same thing where, he never wins. He's a ball hog. And then at the end, obviously, people really respected the way he played. And so I think that's the way that goes.
Yeah, my main problem was the fact that, obviously, anytime there's a winner, there's thousands, millions of bandwagon fans that hop on for the ride.
Right.
So that was one thing. And then also they knocked the Thunder out of the playoffs the first year the Thunder made it. So I held a grudge for a few years.
I do have to say, this is just, I'm not paid to say this, obviously, but Kobe Bryant's shoes are pretty nice.
Oh, they are.
Like, I've had a couple of basketball shoes of his, and they're very comfortable, very well-made basketball shoes, so for whatever it's worth.
They're not high tops, they're low.
Yeah, I like it. Low profile, yeah. Sure. Another guy on the list is Terrell Owens, the ex-wide receiver. And it's kind of a funny little write-up because they drew some exaggerated pictures of each of these guys. And the one they drew for him is when he was standing on the Dallas Cowboys star with his arms outspread. Mm-hmm. He'd run out to, I think it was close to midfield and stand on.
Yeah, he smashed the ball down on the Cowboys star while he was playing for the 49ers. And then he'd hold out his hands like for applause or something.
Yeah, he was one of the reasons that they really started cracking down on the celebrations. I think it was him that scored and he pulled a Sharpie out of his sock and he signed the football. Like right in the end zone. I mean, just like he was more concerned about the celebration as opposed to the rest of the.
This stuff is so entertaining too, and now they just penalize it all the time. I think they're in the game last night that Cardinals 49ers game, the running back got tackled and he got up and he flexed.
Oh yeah,
and he got called for taunting.
Oh like, really?
So tame compared to what always used to happen.
Yeah, that's interesting. Terrell Owens used to say, "Get your popcorn ready."
He used to be on the Buffalo Bills for a year. I absolutely loved him.
Yeah.
They gave him a key to the city.
Oh, did they?
And they didn't re-sign him the next year. He was by far their best receiver in years.
I'm always confused by the key to the city. Like, can I get in places?
What does this actually do for me?
Barry Bonds, obviously, on this list. A lot of people didn't like him. He accused of steroids and so forth. His head did get much bigger over the years.
Yeah, for some reason, steroids affected his head. Baseball and steroids, I don't know. Steroids in sports don't really bother me that much. If you just legalize them, pretty much every other person in the country is allowed to use steroids without getting in trouble for it. So if everyone was allowed to use them, go forward at your own risk. Take the health risk if you want to. But who doesn't like seeing massive home runs? And that's what he did every single year after he was on steroids.
You're not a purist.
Not at all.
Floyd Mayweather, the boxer, he's on the list of athletes that people don't like, apparently. Money Mayweather, that's what they call him. He makes a lot of money, I guess.
I struggle with him a little bit. He makes $100 million every time he boxes, and he doesn't ever finish the other guy. He just goes for a 12-round decision every time.
Yeah, he's good at getting out of the way and then little rabbit punches in there.
Knock someone out. No one's paying to watch a 12-round decision, I'm pretty sure.
Usually not. Get your money's worth, I guess. The New England Patriots are on there as a team that people don't like, probably because they're so successful. People get kind of envious.
Well, people are convinced they're cheaters. They have had some things come up, like videotaping the other team's practice or something like that.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm pretty sure every team tries to get an advantage. The only reason I don't like them is because they throttle the Bills usually twice every year, although the Bills just beat them last week.
They did beat them.
With the Patriots' third-string quarterback in there. We have to throw that in.
Yeah.
So not that great of a victory, really.
The next guy on this list is Tiger Woods. People, he was universally adored, and he's kind of fallen from his pedestal. Again, they had little drawings to illustrate these people, and this one was the smiling tiger, but it was a mask, and it was being pulled away, and then it was like the sinister one behind. Oh. So it was a pretty good drawing. I was like, wow, nice. Good job. But hey, he's had a kind of a fall from his pedestal there. People are not thrilled with him anymore. As far as a team goes, people didn't like LeBron James Miami Heat. They were not liked for a while. They called themselves the Heatles, which was weird.
That was strange. That was their own nickname, wasn't it?
Yeah, they nicknamed themselves.
That is very strange.
You can't nickname yourself. Like, that doesn't, it doesn't.
It never works.
No. Another thing that people apparently really do not like is Tebow Mania, Tim Tebow. He's a very polarizing figure.
Yeah, I love him. He's amazing.
I'm not sure why people are so mad at him.
It's religion. That's what it is.
Yeah, it has to be something with
he's
that.
He's clean cut. He's white. Yeah. He's religious.
People, yeah. There people love him or hate him, and apparently some people don't like him. Two more on this list. Johnny Manziel. People don't like Johnny Manziel. Mm-hmm. Johnny Football. He's had some difficulties. If you follow sports, you're
fun to watch on the field, but he's really out of control off the field.
Yeah, had some issues. And then finally, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell made the list of people.
That guy, he makes $48 million a year, and then his decisions make no sense. Like, four games for, steroids, but then two games for knocking a fiance unconscious or,
yeah,
you know, beating a child until there's gigantic welts on the child. So I think there are certain character things that should be more important than necessarily using steroids.
He's got a cash cow that he's working with, but the ratings are dropping.
Oh, so. And by the way, the Tom Brady Deflategate thing was the most stupid thing I've ever heard of. I mean, I don't even care about that. And the Bills are the Patriots' rivals. I don't even care. I don't think Tom Brady should have been suspended for that at all.
If we had a second hour, we could get into that and open up the phone lines. But that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for joining us on Trumpet Radio Live, this weekend edition, and joining us this week as well. Have a great rest of your weekend. Dry out there on the East Coast, hopefully, and get back to normalcy out there. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.